interview with Dr. Willard Stover by Ted Reynolds on August 27, 1998 for the Bayside Historical Preservation Society and their oral history project. Dr. Stover, a few moments ago you mentioned when your family first came to Bayside. Could you tell me again about that?
My great uncle was a merchant in Belfast. He was one of the five people who provided some funds for the original group of ministers to create the Methodist campground here. This was the latter part of the 19th century. Shortly thereafter, he and my aunt built two cottages here in Bayside. The large cottage is the one to our left, which is known as Breezy Point. The one that we're presently residing in was a guest cottage. My great aunt ran into financial difficulties about in the late 1930s. She sold that cottage and moved this one over here. She was a very interesting person. She was originally from Belfast and spent some time in New York and Boston. Did many things, came back to Belfast, married a local merchant. She spent most of her summers here. During my mother's lifetime, she spent time here when she was a child, and I spent time here when I was young. So I'm the third generation here in the cottage. When my aunt died at the age of about 96, the cottage went to my mother, who passed away about 16 years ago, and the cottage became mine at that time.
So you came here at a fairly young age then?
Yes, I came here and spent summers with my aunt during the 1920s, 1930s. About the only person, I guess, still around Bayside that I was acquainted with at that time was Alfred Keith. Keith family used to have a cottage just up from here, and Al and I used to make rafts and play around here on the shore. Mm-hmm. During the early days of the cottage, there were woods south of here. My great aunt Mary Smith used to tell me of the Indian family that used to come and spend each summers at Kelly's Cove. There was an Indian family, the head of it was a lady known as Molly Molasses, and they apparently came here for many years. And there were only a number of cottages below here anyway. There was a large farm at Kelly's Cove, and there were several large farms up on the back road. And what is now all woods up there used to be a very large blueberry field. I remember going blueberrying there. Bayside, in my recollection, as told to me by my great aunt and my mother, what is now Bayside was a combination of four communities. The original community was Brown's Corner, which was a group of farms and everything else. Then there was the campground. Then in what is now known as sort of the center of the village was more of an entertainment community originally. It was created by a number of investors from Maine and Boston. At the time of when the Boston boat and other excursion boats used to come to Bayside, it had several large hotels, a movie theater, roller skating rink, a pool room, a bowling alley, and people used to come here on weekends the way people now go to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Most of that disappeared after World War I. The two hotels burned. Everything sort of closed up. Bayside then became, for many generations, a series of the gingerbread cottages you see today, which passed on from one generation to the other. Most of the people were from the Boston area or the Maine coast, and when you came here, you saw the same people year in, year out, and you saw many generations of the same family. That continued, I would say, from World War I period until the last 20 years it began to change again. So Bayside has gone through many transitions.
Now, you were, how old were you when you first came here, roughly?
I guess I was here every summer from my first year until about 1940 when I went in the Navy.
You came as a baby, then?
That's right.
Great.
Yeah. You might be interested in the, when I was young here, as I said, everybody had come from many generations. One of the people spent a lot of time on the beach. There were bathing parties and things like that. And one of the attractions was the fact that everybody dug clams. And so everybody went clamming three or four times a week. And there were big picnic at Kelly's Cove. You would build a fire on the rocks and put seaweed on and then put in the clams and the corn and lobsters. And beach parties were a very large thing. Of course, over time, with the development of the chicken industry in Belfast, the bay became polluted, and the clams have all disappeared. Also, you could go fishing anywhere and bring in a load of fish. At high tide, you could catch flounders at Kelly's Cove, and to my knowledge, a flounder hasn't been found in Kelly's Cove for many generations now, which is unfortunate. But the bay is clearing up, and I would imagine that the clams will return. I don't know whether the fish ever will or not.
Hopefully they will. I like the fish. And I can remember when I was very young in Lemoyne, we used to go with my grandfather. We'd catch flounder, lots of flounder anytime, or clams.
Yeah. Another event that was important to all the people who lived here when I was young was the fact that the Boston boat used to come three times a week, and used to come here and then go to Belfast and Bangor and then come back. Many people from Massachusetts would, professional people, bring the family here for the summer and come up on a Friday night and go back on Monday. From here, you could catch the Boston boat, go to Bangor and go shopping in the afternoon, and come back home and come back to Bayside in the evening. There were also excursion boats which went regularly to Castine, Rockland, and Camden, and there was a very boating activity that went around the bay, and it was a very communal kind of a thing. Everybody participated.
Dr. Stover, you came here at a very young age. Were you born in Maine?
I was born in Maine. I grew up on a farm here in Belfast. The old family homestead is Patterson Hill, which is the highest point in the county. And the old farm I grew up on burnt when I was about 3.5 years old. I remember driving of the place burning, and my grandmother and I came in the horse and buggy down here to Aunt Mary's, and we spent the summer with her.
No, you mentioned you were in the Navy. That was when? World War?
I joined the Navy in 1940. Went to flight school in 1941. Was a pilot in the Navy during World War II.
And what's been your occupation generally?
After 6 years in the Navy, I went to college. I picked up degrees in law and engineering after the war. I practiced law for a while with an engineering manager with industry. At the age of 50, I went back and got a PhD in oceanography. Mm-hmm. And for the last 25 years, I've been doing consulting work, primarily for the World Bank and the UN on environmental matters and global climate change and that sort of thing.
Okay. I'm going to back up a little bit. You mentioned a lot of your early memories and recreation. These are all things that are very interesting, I think, in terms of the whole project. Is some of your memories from the past, anecdotes or stories you can remember, or things as a boy you did, maybe some...
About 4 or 5 years ago, one of my closest friends around here died. And I have a story about him that I told at his funeral that a lot of people appreciated. His name was George Jennings. The Jennings family had been here for many, many generations, and the old Jennings farm had just sold. George was, and I grew up here with, along with Al Keith. George was probably the most enthusiastic boating person I've ever known. We used to go up and spend time at the wharf, and when boats would come in, we'd go down and stand with people, and if we could, we'd go on and go sailing with them, motoring. And we spent a lot of time on the sea that way. One day an excursion boat came in, and we thought it was just going out from the bay, and so we got on. It turned out it was going to Castine. George immediately went up on the bridge, and I went out and explored the boat. When we got to Castine, I guess we were halfway there, and they figured out we weren't with anybody. So we got to Castine, and we went roaming around, and we went into one of the stores there, and they had some curios. And one of the things they had a little canoe with an Indian, and which had a sail. And George had never seen a canoe with a sail, and he was fascinated. He was asked if he could see it, and he was looking at it. And the merchant was trying to get away from George, and George was trying to hold on to it. And at that time, Castine was a teacher's college. This was before it became a maritime academy. And one of the teachers there said, well, if I had a boy who wanted something like that, I would certainly buy it from him. So she bought it for him. We came back on the boat, and George held on to this. We get back to the pier at Bayside, and George's grandmother and my great aunt were there waiting for us, and it was the last time we went on a cruise to Castine for some time.
It's a great story. Any other stories like that that you could think of?
When I was young, the children all spent time on the beach. I think one of our favorite pastimes was at high tide getting logs and floating them back and then building rafts out of them. I don't know, and I guess that's how all of us learned how to swim, because we had no supervision. We just went on the beach and people would say, go get out of here, get onto the beach. And I think we all learned to swim by having a log get too far away and then having to dog paddle back to the beach.
Yeah.
But every summer we would build rafts and float them around and have a good time. And I see very few people on the beach anymore, and I think that's really too bad. Because a combination of people came in touch, had come in touch with Indians in their families, but everybody knew a lot about the beach. And they knew what kind of shells they were, they knew what was growing, and you could explore tidal pools and you'd find new things. And most of us kept log books of the things we had learned. And everybody was sort of an amateur Rachel Carson in those days. Mm-hmm. We had collections of starfish and sea urchins and things like that. And we used to trade these things back and forth. And we also collected different kinds of rocks. And we would, there were a few people who had some knowledge. And when we find something we didn't know, we'd form a committee and somebody would go to the local library and find something. There are few young people that have that kind of curiosity, I think, which is too bad.
I think you're right. I don't see many kids on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I would be if I was to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One pleasant experience that I had, as I said, when George Jennings and I were young, we did everything else we could to ride on people's boats. Eventually, George got a boat. And we learned how to sail, and we did a lot of things. Particularly in the 1930s, it was very interesting here in the Bay, because in the latter part of the 19th century and early 20th, wealthy people from New York and other places had come here, and on the islands had built many very large homes and resorts. After 1929, they were abandoned. So as young children, you could sail over and camp out in these. There were homes on Sears Island, on Islesboro, on the islands the other side of Turtle Head. And it was a lot of fun to go and explore them. 50 years later, my wife and I lived on a sailboat for a couple of years. We had a 41-foot Columbia. We sailed up here from Florida 1 year, and got together with George Jennings and his wife. And George and I went back and explored places we had been 50 years before. One of the islands, well, two of the islands, at the mouth of Penobscot Bay, there was Pond Island and Butter Island. When we were young, Indians used to come down from Old Town and spend the summers there. And George and I used to sail over and visit with them and sometimes camp out on the beach with them and go fishing with the Indian kids and that sort of thing. Today, when you go back, if you didn't know it was a place where Indians had been, you would never be able to determine this other than there are a few shell piles around. On other islands where there had been very large homes and tourist facilities, you can find a few stone walls and a few wells. People have dismantled the homes and taken them away, and Mother Nature has reclaimed them. So, and the other thing, when I was young, I may have mentioned earlier, there were a lot of large farms around here. Up on top of the hill on the Bluff Road, it was a large blueberry field. There was also a small, well, a pretty good-sized platform like this where you could observe the bay. And there's a story that people used to tell that during World War I, they caught a German spy up there because Penobscot Bay was the training place for American submarines. They used to operate out of Rockland, and I guess new submarines would come up here and go through exercises. And some little old ladies saw this fellow with a telescope watching them and reported him to the authorities, and they captured what locally was known as the German spy. And when you go up on the Bluff Road today, it's grown up quite a bit. So, and the most colorful character we had down here on the South Shore was Captain Kelly. In the old Captain Kelly's place, which is here on the South Shore. He was a retired sea captain. He used to have a parrot which sat out on his porch, which was a swear at everybody. Captain Kelly, there were a set of farm buildings there, and he always had a large garden every year. I remember that my Aunt Mary and most of the people along here bought their milk and eggs and many of the fresh fruits and vegetables from Captain Kelly. And there was a handyman, he was a Scottish fellow. It wasn't McCandless, but it was very, Jack was his first name. He had probably the oldest Model T Ford everybody had, which didn't run very well, and he would swear at it, kick at it. But he was the one who came along with do all the maintenance jobs and help people when they had a problem.
You mentioned an Indian family that came down near Kelly's Cove.
Right.
Can you tell me more about them?
I don't know where they spent most of the time, but apparently they came here every summer for many, many years, in the latter part of the 19th and early part of the 20th century. And they apparently would put wigwams, which they would live in, and they had some children. and they would stay down there at Kelly's Cove, and they would fish and dry their fish and things like that. And then they would disappear back to where they came from.
Were they still coming down here when you were a boy? Or
I don't remember them, but my aunt and my mother used to tell about them, and other people used to talk about them. Mrs. Lechner, who used to be the neighbor, did some research on them, and I don't know what she did find out, but she is still alive, and she's in a nursing home in Belfast. So it might be something, somebody might follow up with her.
We'll make a note of that.
Okay. Dorothy Lechner.
What would you say are the biggest changes since you were a boy in Bayside compared to now?
Biggest changes have taken place, I think, in the last 15 years. And when I was young, it was still a place where everything closed up at the end of the season. And it was like Brigadoon. And then in the spring, everybody came and opened their cottages and helped everybody. And told what they'd been doing during the wintertime and whatnot. After World War II, more people began winterizing cottages, local professional people primarily. The major change, I think, began to occur in the last 20 years. And it occurred when I think when Einstein came in and began with his real estate business of selling cottages and then providing the opportunity for people to buy and lease them during the summertime. And that result has been that we've had more and more people from away who come, many very interesting people. But more and more cottages are now purchased as tax shelters by people who some never come here, and many rent them out. So it's led to, when you go up in the village, it's all strangers. And more of the people who used to come and spend summers continually no longer do that. Real estate values have gone up. The cost of all the services have gone up. I think now probably 40 to 50% of the cottages up in the major part of the villages are primarily rental cottages. The traffic on the road has gone up tremendously. When I decided to put my place on the market, a number of people from the village came down and told me, you know, that they and many people they know want to get out of the center of the village because they don't know anybody anymore. The traffic has increased, the noise level has gone up, and there's now a lot of speculation that within 5 years, probably the cottages on Park Row will be boutiques and people selling things for tourists. And most of the kind of people I knew around here will be long gone. A number of people, quite a number of people in recent years that I have known have sold, and more people I think will be. So I think Bayside is going through a new transition. Another transition has gone through many, it's going to bring in a new group of people who will have a chance to enjoy it with a different set of variables than people who have done so in the past.
When you were younger, as a boy, the impression I get is that there was much closer community ties.
Yes. When I was young, there was a local post office. It's where the Blair Agency is today. And there was a Jammu store there and a restaurant. And everybody went there to get their mail and had a cup of coffee. And people had coffee and donuts and chatted. There were card parties. There were something going on the beach all the time. It was very much a communal affair. And the stores, I guess they lasted a while after World War II, but not very long after that. There used to be several stores there. And I think when the post office, Bayside ceased to have a summer post office, and the general stores went, and then I think they lost much of the community spirit that had existed prior to that. And then the trend of the old family selling out and new people coming in. And so people are now more private, and they or they come here for shorter periods of time. And they used to be, the village used to have several times during the season a cocktail party. It's been 4 or 5 years since that happened. I'm pleased to see that the community center is being used for more things now. For many years, you sort of sat there and they had the annual meeting. But there's a new mix of variables coming in, and the new people are going to have different desires than the people did before that. So as the community has gone through many transitions, it's now going through another one.
Yeah. I'm gonna, let's take a break here.
Sure.
Just a minute. Dr. Stover, you mentioned sailing. Was the yacht club in existence then, or when did it start?
The yacht club really is a result of a lady, Marion Eaton. Both her father and grandfather had operated excursion boats here in Penobscot Bay from here in Bayside. Marion Eaton was a school teacher. She taught in a high school in New Jersey, and she conceived of the idea of a sailing school in the early 1930s, and she would bring young people from New Jersey up here. She had a number of small boats. George Jennings and I were involved as instructors in the school. We were very lucky in that kids with almost no experience at all got out here in boats and wandered around in the fog, and we never lost any children and never had any bad accidents. And the children all had a glorious time. She had a couple of the large cottages that were dedicated to communities. And the boys were in one and the girls in another. But we used to have some grand times. During my lifetime, in various parts of the world, I have met people, and the conversation I had with them disclosed I was from Maine, and somebody would say, when I was young, I went to a place you never heard of named Bayside and went to a sailing school. And it's amazing how many times that happened. It's also amazing how many people up in the center of the village are there now because they originally came to here from the sailing school. There's quite a number of them. Marion became the first commodore of the yacht club. And the yacht club was a natural growth of the sailing school. And since Marion's time, the sailing school has become extinct and been reorganized probably half a dozen times. I noticed this year that it's acting again, and I see young people out sailing around, and it's a great tradition. It's a great thing. couple of other things that we used to do when we were young. All the young kids went berry picking. We all knew where there were raspberries early in the spring. And the top of the hill above the bluff road was loaded with blueberries. And blackberries were here, and everybody would get after the parents to make pies, of course. So kids would spend time at various cottages, and we all knew whose parents made the best pies. And so summertime was a great thing, and berrying was a major activity.
All of this seems to be to sort of make more of a cohesive community. I mean, you mentioned Luago, you mentioned just people would walk, chat as they walk.
Right.
Could you elaborate on that?
Throughout most of my lifetime, this was a walking community. When I was young, the center of the village had a post office during the summertime. It was an extension of the Belfast post office. There was also a general store there and a restaurant. So it was a normal thing for most people to walk up in the morning, pick up the mail, stop and have coffee and donuts, chat with people. And there were also organized card parties. There were a continual series of activities. There was, for many years, there was a Bayside Intellectual Forum at the community center, and we would have speakers who came in and discussed all kinds of things. There were movies on Saturday nights. There were usually dances on Friday nights. And there was a continual a full summer of activities going on. The community used to have cocktail parties several times a year. It is just, I think, too bad that these are no longer existent. I do see some signs that things are reviving. Now I find more things going on at the community center. I think this is very good. The Yacht Club has become a center, I think, of more young people, and I think that gives them a chance to get out on the bay and to become involved in community social activities. I think the community center activities has been lost as more and people feel that use an automobile and go to Belfast or go to somewhere else for activity. So the to where today there is more congestion, more automobiles, more noise, I think just a symptom of what's happening throughout all communities today. There are more people everywhere and more congestion. It's, I think, inevitable that it's moved up the coast. Camden used to be like Bayside, not too many, like a generation ago. And it became pretty much then a tourist activity. I think it's likely Bayside may become like that, and people who want peace and tranquility will have to move further east. So, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very thankful that I've been able to spend much of my lifetime summers here and enjoyed it when there was a lot of peace and tranquility. I hope that the new people coming in will also have a generation to enjoy it. It certainly will be different from mine, but I think they will enjoy it as much as I did.
Dr. Stover, I think your perspective, having been here a long time, is it's a good one, and I think it'd be very nice for the new residents to hear this and then get an idea of what the community can be, more cohesive, more open, more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Very much. It's been my pleasure.